just want you to bow your head with me for a moment, because I don't want to miss the Lord. I want to make sure I give you what God has said, not what I think is a great idea. So, Father, we humble ourselves before you, believing you will release now an anointing upon this word that will declare your choices to prepare us for these great days that are upon us, especially the Day of Atonement, which is coming very, very soon. In Jesus' name. Now, God has a calendar, and man has a calendar. As of today, it's called October 21st. I mean, September, yes. Sorry, just a month ahead. Not bad, right? The 21st, if I remember correctly, is the beginning of autumn, correct? Tomorrow. And if you look at the 29th of this month, which will happen a week from this coming Tuesday, it's called the Feast of Trumpets. And then, several days later, you're going to get to a wonderful Day of Atonement, which is October. So, first comes the new year in God's calendar on the 29th, beginning at sundown. And then comes the Day of Atonement. And the Lord reminded me of a few notes that I took a little while ago as I was listening to a rabbi. And he gave quite a few things that were kind of intriguing about that day. That day happens to be the holiest day of God's calendar and for his people. Now, are we going to follow because of tradition? No. Are we going to follow his direction because of what he's willing to let us see a little more of himself? I pray that's what you're going to look for, is to see a little more of Jesus on every level. So I never knew that on the Day of Atonement, they actually read the story or the word from Jonah, which was kind of cool. And the Lord has a mission for all of us. And sometimes we think we know what is best for us. Amen? Because you think you know yourself. And as the worship was going on this morning, I kept hearing, you don't know. And you don't know. And you think you do know what's best for you. But you don't know. Kind of a weird little reality. But it ties in with the mission that we all have. And we can say yes to the Lord, or we can say no. We can say yes to his plan, or we can say, ain't doing it. Okay? But on that particular day, the Day of Atonement, I believe it's to take time to recognize who you are and who you're supposed to be in the days ahead. He's asked that we would take time from Rosh Hashanah and to take kind of an inventory within ourselves, to do some fasting, and to get the clutter out of our lives. I also thought that there was another piece of information that was kind of neat. On that particular day, the Jewish people don't wear leather shoes. And I thought, that's an odd comment. They don't wear leather on that day. Because they really are saying, I don't want anybody to pay for something to keep me clean. And I thought, whoa. Because an animal has to die in order for you to get what you got under your feet. So, whoa. Consider the animal who paid a price for your comfort. Whoa. Consider. And it's also to consider who paid the price for yours and my salvation. You think of that? Then he says, it's the one day where they fast, food, drink, sex, and they don't take no for an answer. They ask for God to reveal his plan for that day and for the year ahead. And probably we'll touch on that a little bit later, but I said to the Lord, what do you want this morning? And he says, I want you to take him to Jonah. So let's go to Jonah. Maybe it's a little early, but I pray that it might give you an open door to begin to see what God really wants us to see about ourselves through Jonah. How many know Jonah was a chosen man of God? Jesus said there would be a sign for the Israelites of his day, that the sign of Jonah would be visible. This would also identify that Jesus had no real great joy in going to the cross. Everything within him wanted to jump and go on a boat anywhere but to Jerusalem. Why go to Jerusalem if everybody wants to kill you? What are you going back over there? The disciples asked him. Why? This is stupid. Chapter 1, verse 1, Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He wasn't fleeing from anybody but the Lord. How many times will the thought patterns hit you and me when you're supposed to do something for God? Well, I don't think I'm good enough. That's fleeing God's plan. I don't think I've been prepared sufficiently. That's saying to God that you don't know, or he doesn't know, the greatness of his plan for you, and he can establish you in what he has prepared for you. You're depending on your own established reality. I've not been trained yet in this field. I don't have a degree. Maybe he don't want you to have a degree. Maybe he doesn't want you to be prepared by some other men. Maybe he's got a plan for you to follow him like he did with Paul. Paul had been prepared by man. He had graduated from the best of schools, and God knocked him off his horse and said, get a better plan. Get a better plan. Why? Why? Because God was not interested in natural understanding of things, yet it's handy to have. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school if God tells you to go to school, but I am telling you, it better be his school. It better be the place where he wants you. Verse 4. Watch how God reacts to this man's choices. And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. The friends are going to cry out to the God they know. And they threw a cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, so it's serious. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. He's finally accomplished his purpose. Right? I want to go to sleep. I'm not preaching to those Ninevites. I can't stand them. They don't deserve anything that God would give them, so I know better. How many have ever had a better idea? I've had a few better ideas. I just didn't want to suffer anymore. I'm tired of suffering. Put up with it. And God is saying, I'm going to shake your boat, man. I'm going to shake it. Some of you are not saying amen because you're probably still in the boat hiding in the bottom. Asleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, not on his God. He's already tried it. It's not working. You think the captain's up on top with all the other shipmates? He's not prayed. He's prayed. He's prayed out. And the storm ain't letting up. Maybe he will take notice of us. Now, he doesn't trust this guy, yet he has an idea. Maybe we won't perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. Yeah, sure. I didn't want to be known. I wanted to be in the bottom of the ship. I didn't want anybody to know about who I was, what I had, or what I was to give to anybody else. That's called selfishness, in case you forgot. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? I had that question this week. What do you do? Because it was a person that was asking a lot of questions of me. What do you do? I says, I pastor a church. He ran the other way. Where do you come from? I didn't get a chance to tell him where I came from. What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Now, did you believe that if God would have told Jonah that he needed to go on a ship, he would have went? No. He was running away from God. Does God know you're running away from your plan or his plan? Yeah, he knows when you're running away from his plan, but will he use it for his glory while you're stupidly running in the wrong direction? Can he get on that boat wherever you are? And can he wake you up? Yes. Yes. Even if you're causing all the trouble. Is Jonah the cause of the problem? Yes, he is. All right. This, verse 10. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? Ha-ha, cat's out of the bag. They know he was running away from the Lord. They know he was running away because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Yeah, he gives them the truth. I mean, you know, pick me up, put me on a cross, crucify me so that all the salvation will hit every person in the earth. Is that your version? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead of the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder. So they disobeyed, and what happens? It gets wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord. Now the whole ship is praying. So much for this man choosing to run the other direction. They cried to the Lord, oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. So now they're going to obey. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, oh Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. I love it. They've got proof in the pudding. We finally got rid of the problem. The raging sea, be calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord.
Wow.
And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now, can you imagine? I mean, this stubborn old Israelite, Hebrew, if you wish. Okay. He runs away, goes in the opposite direction, and before he saves the city, he saves and brings salvation to the whole ship. In the opposite direction. How about that for using all things for his glory, huh? Verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Do you think that sepulcher had a smell all its own? Do you think the smells of hell were sweet for Jesus? He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. See, he had told the Jews, I have to go and do what my Father says to do. And in spite of his declaration that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days, they didn't catch on. Why? Because they weren't intended to. There are things in yours and my life that you cannot comprehend. Why it's been so blasted tough. Why it's been so difficult and sometimes so confusing. It is God that's bringing the confusion so that you can wake up and run to him. It's not to make your own satisfaction and your own comfort zone a place where you can just sleep. Because God will send somebody to wake you up. Amen? I'm here to wake you up today. Now look at Jonah. He's inside this wonderful fish. Smelly as all hell. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress I call to the Lord, and he answers me. So he's taking confidence. From the depths of the grave, I call for help, and you listen to my cry. Okay, does that sound like Jesus going to someday cry out from hell, get me out of here? They crucified me unjustly. Have you ever been crucified unjustly? Close your eyes. Lift your hands to him. Say, Lord Jesus, those who purpose to crucify me, I set them free. Because when it's time, Jesus will resurrect me. Everything he has planned for me will come to be, because I'm serving him and I'm letting go of me. Hallelujah. From the depths of the grave, I call for help, and you listen to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me, and I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Your engulfing waters threaten me. The deep surrounds me. Seaweeds was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. Is that a prophetic word? Did Jesus go down into the pit? This is a prophetic word. You may be in the pit. You're not going to stay and remain in the pit. You might visit the pit. It's not the end of the world. Because you've got a Savior that already declared you not guilty. Then my life was ebbing away and I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, a song of thanksgiving, a song of thanksgiving. I mean, of all places to start singing inside of the belly of the whale. I mean, let's be honest. Would you be starting to sing in the midst of hell? You better. You better. I believe this is also a prophetic word that Jesus began to worship God in the midst of hell. Right in the middle of hell itself, he began to lift up his voice and began to rejoice in God's plan of salvation, of resurrection, and of deliverance. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. Woohoo! And the rest is to come. The rest is to come. If you get a clue out of what happened to Jonah, because there's a lot more in there, and I don't know when we're going to go back to it, but I do know this. Your plan is not good enough. No matter how many of your plans, they're not good enough. God's plan. The eternal Father, who already knew you before you were born. I had the discussion yesterday with a person. Before you were born, God knew you. Oh, that can't be. Baloney. What's good for one is good for another. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, God knew what Jeremiah was to be. God knew what you were to be. Is it time for your revelation? Is it time for you to wake up to see who you are and what you're to become? Is it time for the unknown to come and to be a reality to you? Are you ready for a visit from Elijah? And when he comes and he says to you, Elisha, follow me. Are you ready to kill your plan of salvation? That was Elisha's plan of salvation. He had some wonderful bulls. And he was opening up the ground. And what did the Holy Spirit say to him? Kill him! Have him for lunch! Yeah. Would you do it? Has he called you to let go of your own salvation and your own well-being? He called him. Don't let the flesh and the things of the flesh hold you back. If it's time to kill something, you're going to have to slaughter it. Okay? And it won't be comfortable. And you will be criticized. And they will come against you. But the God of heaven, who knows how to bless, how to release grace, and how to release all kinds of salvation, is more than capable of bringing you up when you think you're down. When you think you're down. This man was sound asleep at the bottom of the ship. He thought he was down. He thought nobody'd find him. He was going to snooze and go to Tarshish. Big deal. You might think you're going somewhere, and God says, you ain't going. Paul wanted to go to Damascus. What happened to him? How many of you have ever gotten knocked off your horse? Put your hand way up. Wave it a little bit. Why? Because you're heading in the wrong direction. And it's okay. And God knows. He knows your weakness. He knows my weaknesses. And I'll tell you truthfully, I could put up both hands because I've done it 101 times. Gone with my own plan and then had to repent and ask him to forgive me. Father, I leave your Holy Spirit to stir up inside of them what you want from them and for them. And I ask, Father, that you would just do a dramatic work for the Holy Spirit to just truthfully give them a very powerful, impacting word, a now word, a now revelation for what is next in their lives. And don't give them more than they can digest. I don't want them to have indigestion. In Jesus' name. And amen.